story. Now we'll begin side two. This is broadcast 645, April the 16th, 1984. On other broadcasts, I have talked about Ronald Reagan and the far right, the Christian right out here in California that helped put him in office. And he was protecting Edgar Eugene Bradley, and Bradley had associates with these other people that were involved not only with the Murchisons, but so was Richard Nixon, and so was J. Edgar Hoover. And also in the Rebel, that same article I mentioned, Dan Smoot is being part of the Nazi connections, the Kennedy assassination. He's a former Dallas FBI agent with strong Nazi ties who then went on by 1979 when Western Goals was formed and was put on the board of Western Goals Foundation. Now, I've talked at length about Western Goals and LAPD, and we'll be rolling right into that for the next 2 weeks. And some stories on the Olympic Games and Edwin Meese and the role of security and his high military gang, because, again, Reagan's gearing for war. He's been put down by the Republicans, Democrats, and he has a contingency, and we'll go into that. And so some of this will be repetitious for you, and some I have to put in the context of today's news. I talked to one of the top reporters of the Washington Post who's doing stories on Edwin Meese and was giving her some clues and items to go into, and I mentioned Western Goals, and she had never heard of it. And I said, well, where have you been living? And she writes for the Washington Post. So some of this material is old to you, and some people have never heard of these things. So we, once in a while, have to go back and update them, in the context of the news today. Now, there was a story just this last week. The police say they will be ready for the Olympic defectors. And they had a member of the Olympic Committee on television this week. You might have seen it. And also a press representative from the Soviet Union. The Los Angeles Police Department, and keep in mind, that's the old Squad 19, the criminal conspiracy section. This is the Reagan-Meese military group that they've put together. And isn't it nice that 1984 is the election of Ronald Reagan and re-election of Ronald Reagan, and it's the year of the Olympics, how they combine and converge. So the Sheriff's Department in Orange County and all Los Angeles are getting special instructions in handling possible defectors. Translated means we're going to have an old fishnet, and we'll yank them by the ankle, drug them, and keep them in America, and offer them $100,000 a year out of your new paid tax dollars. And so that they are ready to, they've concentrated their training to include these special people for political asylum. And they're even so brash as to suggest, you know, right in front of the Soviet Union, that it may not be athletes, it may be reporters, it may be government investigators, with LAPD are just rubbing their two hands together and studying their manuals on what to do to snatch any person that gets through the net who can come over to this country. I saw Nadia Comaneci's trainer, the one that was so successful in giving her the Olympic medal. She was so young, from Romania. He's doing very well in Houston, Texas, and gets a large amount of money, and people move there to get their children into the Olympic Games. So we grab the trainers. We'll take anything we can get. And I doubt if the, I'll bet you that he won't have an Olympic athlete out of Houston, Texas. What do you want to bet? That 20 years from now, he won't make one out of an American muscle. I bet you it's not there. I may be wrong, but I'll be very surprised. So for all he got, let's see what he does. Now, also on the news, on television this week, Face the Nation, a Soviet journalist says the boycott of Olympics is still possible. And also, as a section of Face the Nation, talking about the representative from Izvestia, from the Soviet Union, was William Simon, president of the United States Olympic Committee. Now, William Simon is the same Simon that E. Pendleton James got a job when Richard Nixon was president to be Secretary of the Energy. And there are a lot of questions in the next weeks to come, in the next 3, 4, 5 weeks, linking Knoxville, Tennessee, the Atomic Energy, Bechtel Organization, which is Mr. Schultz, George Schultz, and Caspar Weinberger, the Knoxville, Tennessee, the uranium, the terrorism around the uranium and the leakage of that, William Simon was the Secretary of Energy. He went on to become Secretary of the Treasury. That was after Maurice Stans left and was, you know, in such bad favor after Watergate. Treasury is also in charge of Secret Service, protection of presidents, vice presidents. He is in charge of the Olympic Committee, and he also is on the board of an organization called Helionetics, H-E-L-I-O-N-E-T-I-C-S. Now, when I talk about Helionetics, in even to long researchers, they get very confused, so I'm going to go very slowly with you. If you want to look up Helionetics, because we're just going to weave from the LAPD, the Olympic security, to Ronald Reagan's garden plot, Helionetics is described, one article that's easy for you to get, is March 28, 1983, a New York Times story. Helionetics is a firm for laser weapons in Irvine, California. And Ronald Reagan gave a speech March 23rd, another one of his great speeches, March 23rd, 1983, about laser weapons and Star Wars that would involve Daniel Graham, formerly of the Defense Intelligence Agency, who shares offices with Fritz Kramer. And right after that speech, the contracts for the laser weapons, we're going to go to a little-known firm called Helionetics out in California. And I'm going to do a lot on Helionetics. You can learn one new word a week, and we'll go on to Helionetics pretty soon. But on the board of Helionetics in Irvine, California, is Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, who's also on the board of Western Goals, who shares the spy information with the Los Angeles Police Department and Admiral Moore. And I'll give you a list of people again on Western Goals. On the board of Helionetics is that William Simon of the U.S. Olympic team. Edward Teller is on the board of Western Goals with the LAPD and Helionetics, the father of the H-bomb. William Simon, with a background in energy, Secret Service, and Treasury, is and the Olympics, he's in charge of the Olympics, is on the board of Helionetics for the laser weapons. The third person on the board, I have the name of four, only because I don't want to confuse you, is Robert Gray. The gentleman that I have described week after week, Robert Keith Gray, the long friend of Ronald Reagan. His name is on the Carter-Reagan debate papers. Remember the broadcast I did, the papers that would go to Meese, Gray, and Casey? That's the Gray. Remember Task Force 157 that I've talked about on the air with Edwin Wilson? The Navy, CIA using the Navy ships and Marine as a cover that went down to South America with that 157 was responsible for the Glomar Explorer going down and taking material for the overthrow of Allende and putting the Nazi Pinochet in power in Chile. He was active. He was in the offices of Robert Gray, and then he opened up his public relations offices a few years ago. Robert Gray, his name came up just recently because he was the one who suggested that William Moss from an institute down in Dallas, Texas, give money to Mrs. Meese. She got $40,000 from Robert Keith Gray, Edwin Meese. I don't want to confuse you, but on Helionetics with Edward Teller and William Simon, both of them with the one with allegedly getting computers for security for the Olympics and the other on the Olympic Committee. And then another person on the board of Helionetics is an Admiral Hayward, Thomas Hayward, and a listener up north sent me a brochure about the officers of Litton Industry. And when he retired as the chief of naval operations, Admiral Hayward went to Litton Industries up in the north in the Bay Area. So between that article in the paper today about the Strategic Air Command, the head of the Air Force, the chief of the Admiral Thomas Hayward of the Naval Operations, you get an idea, and it goes on and on, that there's very important brass working with people like Robert Gray of the highest level of espionage and also working in the belly of the beast of the terrorism with Edwin Wilson and Frank Turpel and the bombs and missiles for Libya and Iran and Kuwait and the PLO. that caused the reaction of the president, the terrorism that he wants to curtail and take away our rights, was funded by George Bush and the, as director of the CIA and the others before and after him as the excuse to come in now and close in on us. That's why we funded them with weapons. That's why we gave them all of this all along, because then they could come at home and lock our doors and knock on our doors and break them down. A man on the board of Helionetics, Bernard Katz, broke a story, which I'll continue, I hope, next week, that ties into Dr. Earl Bryan and Edwin Meese and Mrs. Meese and her investments again. So briefly, we have William Simon, who is in charge of the Olympics, and he's on the board of Helionetics, and he's on the board with Edward Teller, who's of Western Goals, and he's on the board with Robert Keith Gray, whose office is now just hired for something like $200,000 or $300,000 a year. I have the figure at home. The head of the former Organization of American States, Mr. Orfila, O-R-F-I-L-A. He's number two man in the Gray Agency. He's from Argentina, and he's worked with our counterintelligence with the Nazis, the hit squads, the Sasakawas, all along. So what you're getting in the stories that are coming out now, what I'm getting and passing to you, is the top military officers from every branch working with the people that managed the Munich massacres for the Israeli students, working with the Los Angeles Police Department and our Pentagon. Now, moving on to the LAPD, and I'll get back to Helionetics next week and give you one new name a week, but the interlocking people that are part of the whole fabric. National Enquirer had a story, wow, $55 million and 20,000 police for only 12,000 Olympic athletes. See, even the right wing in the Enquirer is owned by a guy from the CIA. Even the far right may not like an emperor or a dictatorship. And when you get that, you get a counter reaction, then everybody loses. Some people are catching on. So this is an article about Uncle Sam. I said the budget is $100 million. But up front, there is another contingency for more, and he talks about $17 million for military backup. Now, a friend of mine called me about this article because I read the first part, and down in the middle, there's this sentence that she reminded me. Waiting in the wings under President Reagan's personal command is a top army anti-terrorist team that can be used in a major crisis. While Washington budgeted $17 million for possible military backup, Kenneth Hill at the White House says the Army won't be used unless the lawmen are swamped in an emergency. And in addition, the Treasury Department is mustering 600 Secret Service agents. And it goes on about the security. And it said behind this giant security task force is the problem. It wasn't the 1976. It was the 1972, the Munich Olympic Games in 1972. One of our best-kept secret weapons we have, they're not going to pass on to you, is something that you don't know about yet. They're just hinting. Behind this giant security task force is an array of the most modern protection gear available. The star in this arsenal is an incredible high-tech fence and alarm system that will surround the Olympic villages. I just read that the National Security Agency wants electronic, some kind of a laser a thing around it, just covering it all in. So take the high military and then go from there. Now, in May of last year, May 1983, I broadcast 599, I had it on the air, was the story in the LA Times. No, it was May 24th, pardon me. Detective and spying case linked to the John Birch Society. And that's when the story broke, just last May, and for those of you who don't have broadcasts, you can order the back tapes or the sheets on that. This is about John Reese and Louise Reese and Representative Larry McDonald and the links of the Los Angeles Police Department that finally broke to that private garage in Long Beach of J. Paul, where his wife, Mary Love, has kept a computer, and he's kept a computer, going with interconnecting links of people that were on Reagan's list for 8 years in California, law-abiding citizens, all of this is law-abiding citizens, not criminals, being fed in the East Coast. Now, I got last week FBI report on John Reese. First, I should read you the list of people on Western Goals in case you're not familiar with the members' names. I look back at the sheets, and I don't think I gave you all of their names so that you get the heavyweights. Then I want to give you the kind of person they're working with. I've mentioned individually some of them, but not all of them. Western Goals was set up in 1979, a tax-free foundation out of Alexandria, Virginia. Larry McDonald, from the John Birch Society, who comes from DeKalb County, where there were accusations before the House Select Committee on Assassinations of his link to the death squads, to the terror in the Middle East, to Lebanon terrorists, and to the overthrow of Allende and the murder of Allende, and putting Pinochet into power. He ran Western Goals until he died last September. On that board are Admiral Thomas Moore, former Joint Chief of Staff, who was stealing Richard Nixon's papers with Henry Kissinger in the White House, Dr. Edward Teller, father of the hydrogen bomb, and on the board of Helionetics, that's going to ties into Dr. Earl Braun and Edwin Meese. Roy Cohn, from Senator Joe McCarthy's hearings, the House Un-American, the Red Scare, you know Roy Cohn. Dr. Hans Senholz, a pilot for Hitler's Luftwaffe. General John Singlaub. I've read articles that Jack Anderson's had of Singlaub, head of the World Anti-Communist League, working in Taiwan and Asia around the world and with Mr. Sasakawa and fascists that then spread to South America, Central America, Asia, Singlaub on the board. Roger Milliken from the board of J. Peter Grace, the one who put John Reese in charge of Western Goals, and he publishes the material for them, and he still does it. Dan Smoot, FBI man from Dallas that worked with Hitler's Nazis, he's on the board of Western Goals. I mentioned him earlier. George Patton, the son of the General George Patton, whose father wanted to continue the war into Russia. Sorry, the Germans lost. His son is on the board of Western Goals. Representative Philip Crane from Illinois, General Raymond G. Davis from Georgia, General Lewis Walt from Orlando, Florida, Representative Jean Ashbrook from Ohio. Her husband was very conservative Republican. You know, well, she is too. Mrs. Walter Brennan from California, Henry Hazlitt, H-A-Z-L-I-T-T, from Connecticut, Dr. Mildred Jefferson from Boston, Massachusetts, E.A. Morris from Greensboro, North Carolina, and Representative Bob Stump from Arizona. Now, that's a lot of heavyweight general, admiral, the head joints of staff, Singlaub. Oh, I forgot Mr. Wigner, Dr. Eugene Wigner. He's the German with the links to Vienna, Germany, where Helene von Damm is and where other good American Nazi types were, with the offices of Western Goals that goes into computers in Germany and Vienna, the BND, which is the Galen operation. Now, that is the military heavyweight. And keep in mind, again, the overlapping here of the excuse for the computers in L.A. was to keep track, allegedly because of the Olympic Games in Munich, stop terrorism in California. When I, many weeks, had put together information for you on the links of the Munich Olympic Games to the exact people who were supposed to secure Los Angeles. But we're getting to the finish line where Ronald Reagan wants this special group, his April 3rd decision, which I'm sure he planned 2 years ago when they knew the L.A. would be an Olympic. And this is a team of Western Goals. Now, the FBI report on John Reese, because he was put in there by Mr. Milliken to head Western Goals. He works with these people. These are not lame brain people. You know their names, so I'm not telling you. That's why I read the list of people, so it would sink in that when you get these kinds of people, you might understand who they're working with. Now, here's an FBI report, September the 27th, 1968, from Mr. Deloche, that was J. Edgar Hoover's buddy, to Mr. A. Rosen of the FBI. This is what he wrote, a synopsis. For the House Committee on Un-American Activities informed our Chicago office that John Herbert Reese will testify before this committee as a friendly witness, that he was at the disturbances at the Democratic National Convention in 1968. Reese was in Chicago as an undercover agent at the time. In addition, the following hostile witnesses have been subpoenaed, and it lists some of these people that they're going to talk about. And it goes into the background of him in Newark and his personal responsibility, which I'll get into later. They did say in 1964, and I haven't had time to share with this with you. I have the material, and every week I want to do it. John Reese of Western Goals received nationwide publicity when Grace Metalius, the author of the novel Pet and Place, died and left her $250,000 estate to him based on a deathbed will leaving nothing to her estranged husband or three children. She had known him for only a few months. Consequently, there was a court hearing, and he relinquished the claim to estate, but the estate was changed in 3 months, so a dying woman who had a movie and a book, he moved in. He had already fathered five children. I don't know where they are wandering around. We don't hear much about John Reese, but he publishes this little newspaper for Western Goals, which I take, and he's very important. Why would Mr. Milliken, an educated person with business know-how, working with and for J. Peter Grace, what would John Reese mean to them? And the FBI is talking about a man that they use today that works with Roy Cohn, that works with Milliken and Wigner and Seinholz and the whole gang and Singlaub and Larry McDonald. This is what the FBI wrote, not Mae Bressel, not the Communist Press, not the People's World, not the New Times. This is what the FBI said. Reese is an unscrupulous, unethical individual and an opportunist who operates with a self-serving interest. Information he had provided has been exaggerated and in generalities. Information from him would not be considered reliable. We should not initiate any interviews with this unscrupulous, unethical person, this individual, concerning his knowledge of the disturbance in Chicago. To do so would be a waste of time. That's the FBI talking about him. They said, Reese, a 44-year-old white man and a British national, came to the United States in 1963. That's when we had our first coup. Now we're having our second coup in 1984, where they're pulling their military might with the planes and the admirals and the generals. He contacted the Newark office in 1968, and Reese talked about his infiltration in Newark and so forth. And as I say, in 1968, on March 8th, they said Reese was forced to resign in Newark as a full-time research director of the New Careers, which was a federally funded local organization in Newark designed to train hardcore unemployed, when it was learned that he had a full-time job with the National Goals Incorporated. National Goals becomes Western Goals, but it's the same John Reese. It's spelled the same, and it's the same man. He said the United States Department of Labor, which was funding the agency, is attempting to recover 7,597 paid to Reese for his salary. This is an FBI report on John Reese, his coming here from England. London advised July 1968 that Reese was employed by the London Daily Mirror, and while so employed, he consistently used his employment to enhance his own personal standing with persons he met outside the Mirror premises. He used the name of the paper to obtain credit for small items like restaurant meals and hotel reservations. Bills were paid by the London Daily Mirror. He was fired by the London Daily Mirror. He came to this country. He kept company with a stenographer in England during 1962 who resigned from the London office and returned to Boston, Massachusetts, where association of Reese came to the attention of the London intelligence offices. His background and the fact that he was married and had five children was confidentially furnished to the stenographer who worked for the FBI, who was visibly shaken by this news inasmuch as she intended to marry John Reese. There's your new morality, Jerry Falwell, and your far right and Richard Vagary. The FBI said they had no interest in him. Grace Metalis, as I said, they wrote up about the $250,000 estate and what he did and described him as somebody they shouldn't even touch. Now, the Los Angeles Police Department didn't think that. Jay Paul, there's a Los Angeles Times, March 30th, 1983, Paul concedes that he passed data to the editor, John Reese, for their private group. Suspended Los Angeles police detective conceded Thursday that he passed confidential police department intelligence to the editor of a publication for right-wing organization. The editor is John Reese. So the Los Angeles Police Department, and Paul says his superiors knew about it, that Daryl Gates, the LAPD chief, knew about it. They knew what he was doing. They knew he had a computer. They paid for his time. The Los Angeles Police Department, with the heavy weight of the military, the Nazis, the mafia, the team that was on and is on Western Girls today, J. Paul was working with John Reese. J. Paul made a distinction between the editor, John Reese, and the private intelligence group, Western Goals. He could send it to Reese. He wasn't charged with sending it to Reese. Now, tell me how to split that hair. How many ways do you want to split that one? That the Los Angeles Police Department, 12 years with the police department since 1963, again, since Kennedy was killed, he can't check out John Reese. He can't get from the Los Angeles Intelligence Division the top secret papers of the state of California and elsewhere coming to them, people visiting here from around the world. When that J. Paul is there and he's going to contact a John Reese, where was J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI report of Deloach and those in 1968 that he was unscrupulous, he was an opportunist, he tried to get the estate of a woman 3 months from her death, from her three children. He was promising to marry another woman when he had five children and a wife somewhere else. Don't they have a way of checking out who they make contact with? And the police agent says, I was in touch with not Western Goals. I was in touch with John Reese. And we're supposed to buy that cockamamie. I mean, that's an impossible story to put together. He said he met Reese in the late 1970s. And I have absolute proof that Edwin Meese also worked with John Reese. They were part and parcel of the same package. Paul met Reese in 1970s through the office of the late Larry McDonald from Georgia, head of the John Birch Society. And then Paul said he wasn't aware that Reese became a co-founder with McDonald of Western Goals. When did he decide? He has a $100,000 computer. When's he going to get aware of what Western Goals is? That has to be an outright lie, and he isn't charged with contacting Meese. Paul conceded it was Reese from Western Goals, that's Admiral Moore and Teller and Milliken and the whole gang, who arranged for J. Paul to participate in the computer project of the Western Goals Foundation and put it in the law office of Paul's wife. We'll go back next week because I have more to do on J. Paul. We're getting to the Los Angeles Police Department and John Reese. And this is important because Reese and Jerry Ducote worked together. Reagan and Meese and Reese and Ducote worked together. And what they have, this Helionetics, is going to tie into Mrs. Meese, to Dr. Earl Brine. Oh, I want to make one correction. I have 1 minute. There are two doctors in California. One is Dr. Earl Brine. And on a sheet a few weeks ago, I wrote the name Stuart Brine. Stuart Brine is a doctor who was interning with my first husband. He's married to Honey Bear, Earl Warren's daughter. I just knew her briefly. But my first husband was a doctor, residency or internship with Stuart Brine. And he introduced Honey Bear to her future husband. And I made a slip where I called it Stuart. There's a big difference. Earl Brine, Edwin Meese, and the scandal of the $15,000 going back to the money that went to biotech at Earl Brine. I'll tie it together for you, but I have to wander off on these limbs now because the warfare mentality that Reagan is having and the coup plans and the LAPD, and they're working with the very offices of the late Larry McDonald that had that contingency with coups in other countries. But we have to cut it off now. Paul is here and it's time for the blues. So May signs off the real blues and we get the blues for fun. This is May Brussel and it's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California.